Cary Grant by Mark Elliott. Here's the intro. One of Hollywood's legendary leading men is the subject of a new book. Cary Grant, a biography by Mark Elliott, examines the life and career of the late actor so many women were in love with and men wished they could be. But as Robin Rupley reports, even Cary Grant said he too wished he could be Cary Grant, a creation all his own that was a long journey from an impoverished, traumatic childhood in Bristol, England. Here's the text.
I know, I look vaguely familiar.
Yes.
You feel you've seen me somewhere before.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how I have that effect on people. It's something about my face.
It's a nice face.
He was tall, dark, and classically handsome. The epitome of urbane sophistication. But what Cary Grant brought to the screen that made him Hollywood's favorite movie idol for nearly four decades was more than simple good looks. He could play leading man and comic foil, as he did with actress Katharine Hepburn in such groundbreaking 1930s comedies as The Philadelphia Story and Bringing Up Baby.
Are you sure you want me?
Yes. Yes.
Positive?
Yes, you can come. Come on.
Well, don't you worry, David. Because if there's anything that I can do to help you, just let me know and I'll do it.
Well, don't do it until I let you know.
Later, under the direction of Alfred Hitchcock, Grant would play darker, more chameleon-like characters in such thrillers as Notorious, Suspicion, and North by Northwest. Cary Grant biographer Mark Elliott says part of Grant's ability to keep audiences guessing goes back to his deliberate attempt to distance himself from a childhood trauma when he was a young boy named Archibald Leach.
At the age of nine, his mother disappeared. And at first they told him that she had gone to the seashore for a rest. And then when she didn't return, they told him that she was dead. He then ran away from home. His father, meanwhile, was involved with another woman on the other side of England.
Archie Leach assuaged his grief by hanging around the backstages of Bristol music halls, and at the age of 14, dropped out of school to join an acrobatic troupe. There he learned to do back flips and to walk on stilts, and he trained in the art of physical comedy. When the troupe was invited to perform in New York, he fell in love with the city and never returned to England. Grant biographer Mark Elliott says when the young performer first tried his hand at acting on Broadway, he flopped. Audiences didn't seem to care for his deep Bristol accent and working-class ways. What he needed, Mr. Elliott says, was a touch of refinement.
A friend of his said, I can get you a job as an escort if you can look good in a tuxedo and pass yourself off as a Park Avenue man about town. There are several wealthy women who would hire you so that they could be seen with a good-looking young man in a tuxedo. That translates into the image, the persona, later on, that Grant went to these parties and studied the way rich people act, the way they stand, the way they speak, the way they relate to each other. And that is the basis for the first 30 movies that he makes, where he's in a tuxedo and he plays very sophisticated characters.
Archie Leach's quick study in the ways of sophisticates eventually paid off. He auditioned for and got the Broadway roles, changed his name to Cary Grant, and moved to Hollywood, where his ascendancy to leading man was swift. Then, at the age of 31 and an established movie star, his father dealt him another shock. Biographer Mark Elliott
met with his father, who was now a kind of a disheveled alcoholic, and they sat down, and over a beer his father said, I have something to tell you. Your mother is not dead. She's alive and in an insane asylum, and you can go get her if you want to. Well, this was a major trauma for Cary Grant on several levels. He went to the insane asylum, found his mother, got her out, and brought her back to the same house that she had been taken from when he was 9 years old.
According to Mark Elliott, the shock of losing his mother and then rediscovering her years later resulted in a fierce independent streak which would affect Cary Grant's relationships with women as well as the Hollywood establishment. Grant was married five times. and at a time when Hollywood actors were bound by long-term contracts to movie studios, Cary Grant was the first to successfully resist being owned by any one studio. Being a free agent in Hollywood gave him the freedom to choose the kinds of roles he wanted to play. Author Mark Elliott says in nearly every Cary Grant picture, you'll find his character often pursued by women, but never actually pursuing them himself.
For women, it translates as, what a wonderful guy. You know, he's not jumping over all these women. He's not Errol Flynn. You know, he's not seducing them. He's polite. He's restrained. He's cultured. To men, it translates as a totally non-threatening image. This is not a guy who's going to steal your girlfriend or wife away when you turn your back.
The moment I meet an attractive woman, I have to start pretending I've no desire to make love to her.
What makes you think you have to conceal it?
She might find the idea objectionable.
Throughout his career, Cary Grant's independence of the Hollywood studio system won him few friends among industry executives. Although he made more than 70 films and was one of the most popular movie stars of all time, he was snubbed by judges of the Academy Awards. That was until 1970, when the actor was retired and some younger members of the establishment lobbied to give Cary Grant an honorary Oscar. Now, almost 20 years after Cary Grant's death, Mark Elliott's new book, Cary Grant, A Biography, is one of the first to look at the actor's life from a historical perspective. Written as a character study as much as it is an examination of Grant's body of work, the book takes readers on the remarkable journey of a poor immigrant whose dreams of achieving perfection actually came true, if not in his own life, then forever on screen. This is Robin Rupley.